Good morning. It's great to be with you. Please turn to Genesis 22. And actually, message this morning, very much one of the main applications goes right along with that introduction as we think about the gospel and the kingdom and family. Because often we don't hear those things at a missions conference. You know, you hear conferences on mission and you hear conferences on family, but never the twain shall meet. My dad and my son, named after my grandfather also, he's Daniel the fourth, and he has Daniel the fifth as his son, and we said, we need to stop that, okay? But we did a missions conference on the missional family, and we did it together, and we baptized one of my grandchildren at that missions conference, because it does go together. And one of the applications from this passage here in Genesis 22, we'll be thinking about that this morning. Let me just say thanks for all your years of prayer and sending us to Japan and being a part of our work there, praying for our family. It's been wonderful and it's been hard. It's been wonderfully hard. But so is your life too. But we're really grateful for your being behind us. Thank you. We went to Japan with 5 kids. We came back with 9. The last time I was with you, I think we had 2 grandchildren 3.5 years ago. Have to look at the dates. You know, I don't remember birthdays of grandchildren. And then now we have 8 and 2 in the womb. So, you know, Japan has a declining birth rate. And they're begging people, please have children. They're giving incredible tax incentives to have more babies, you know. If people would, because it's awful the problems they're beginning to face because of declining population, only country in the world because they don't have immigration. And so we always joke, sorry, all we could have were 9. We tried to do better and help the problem, but all we could do were 9. But wait, we now have 8 grandbabies and more in the who knows how many we'll have by God's grace next time we're with you again. But it's good to be with you again, and thank you for your prayers all these years. It's exciting. Maybe God is giving you a building. I just was thinking this morning. I heard at Presbytery yesterday about that, a building that maybe God has given you guys. And God gave us a building for our church in Japan a few years ago, and to make sure we didn't get ingrown and have an edifice complex, you know, we decided whatever the operations giving was for the previous year, we'll take 1% of that every year in the next year's budget and give it to help other churches build their building apart from the missions budget. And we just gave $2,000 away to another building fund for another church in Japan. I was thinking, wouldn't it be neat if we gave some back to you guys after sending us to Japan to help you as a sending church buy your building, you know? Wouldn't that be neat? Oh, you don't sound very excited about that. Okay. So... Let's hear God's word from Genesis 22. We'll start at verse 7, this great passage you're all so familiar with. Genesis 22, verse 7. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Lord, we thank you for your word. We believe this is your word. You've given it to us, and we pray that you would apply your word to our hearts. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. We need you to open our hearts and show us your glory. Show us what you have for us today to apply to our lives, to our families, to the world that you have put us into, to Winchester, to Japan, to Quebec, to the nations. We look forward to what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anyone here think it's hard to raise children? What do you think? Easy, hard? Like I said, we have nine. When number three was born, I remember so vividly sitting on the edge of the bed with Carol, crying. I was getting ready to leave the Marine Corps, go to seminary. It was a hard period. I just remember weeping on the bed, just, this is too hard. You know, babies crying at night, croup, you know, in the shower all night with fevers, and early to work in the morning and have to run 10 miles with the Marines and all that stuff. And I remember a few times it was like we're sitting on the edge of the bed chanting to ourselves, children are a blessing. Yes, children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. We believe this. Paying for college, 5 out of 9. Number 6 is in college now. I won't add it up for you. 351,121 loads of laundry now. Children are a blessing. Carol's given birth 9 times, and 3 made in Japan with American parts and labor. what labor? And what gets her through it? You know? For her, you know, the joy and the expectation of something bigger than that pain and struggle that she was going through at the time. So many things in life are like that. I mentioned missional family at the beginning. That's one of the applications. This passage is about more than that. We're going to make that. I look around a church with a lot of kids, and this is for singles. This is for grandparents. Like my dad always said, he disciples my kids, and it's my job to disciple my grandkids as we think generation to generation, but bigger than ingrown family. Not Presbyterian Amish, not evangelical ingrown, you know. That often, if you did a couple years ago, did a Google search of family, ton of stuff, family, 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 you know. Did a Google search of missional, a word that means outward focused, looking out to the world, and tons of stuff, you know. And then I did a Google search of, guess what? Missional family. And guess what I got? Nothing. Nothing that was about this, you know. Nothing. But it's very easy, and I look around at the PCA, I look around at our circles, and I see often people running either direction, but it's like, which leg do you want? Your left or your right, you know? It's both. These go together. And this is so exciting. I appreciate it. I want to add a third word to it. Gospel missional family. But we won't. But that's in this passage too. So we will talk about that now. I learned it so much from my dad, and it's from the Bible. This passage, that verse 18 especially, we're going to be focusing on the end here. That in your seed, Abraham, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Now some of you theologians immediately say, okay, Dan, but who is the seed? The seed is Christ, Dan, in verse 18. Okay, how many of you believe, okay, let's have a Bible exam. Is the seed Christ? Or is the seed our children, our covenant children, and those grafted in spiritual children that come? Which is it? Should we take a vote? Everyone who believes the seed here is Christ? A lot of people want a trick question, maybe? Yeah. How many believe the seed are our covenant children and those grafted in, the spiritual children, as the church grows and spreads out? How many of you believe that? That's right. It's both. Calvin, remember this from Calvin. He said, and we see it from the context. A lot of people talk about the Hebrew words here for offspring are singular sometimes and plural, but you don't need to know Hebrew. You read the context. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. And we read through the whole Bible. There's a king coming. There's a Messiah coming. The seed is coming. He is one and he is great. And yet here, what does it say? Like the stars of heaven, like the sand of the sea, in another place, like the dust of the earth. Another place, God said, Abraham, look at the stars, Abraham. Last night was a beautiful night. Got back. We live in Tokyo, you know, 30 million, 33 million people. We can't see the stars where I live very, very rarely, you know. And last night, I just was looking and thinking about this morning. Did you see the stars last night? Can you count the stars? Count the stars. Can you count the dust? So shall your descendants be. Calvin put it this way. This is about Christ and his members. That's right. Christ, the seed, and his members. All of us who know him and our covenant children, those grafted in, those in Japan who have come to Christ, who become a part of this advancement around the world, this blessing going to every tongue and tribe, to be that our families too, these covenant children here, that our church will be a part of this, the greatest endeavor. Yes, as goers, as senders, let's make it a different. Steve Childers, a friend of mine, calls it radical goers, radical senders, because of this radical gospel, the Lamb who was slain, a compelling vision for our families. And living in America, coming back here, friend, I've been back 2 weeks. Driving up and down the Shenandoah Valley several times, looking at the big houses, in big houses, seeing, man, this country, what's the number one richest country in the world? Can someone help me name that? What country? United States of America. I'm in number two, Japan. Have you heard of the McClellan Foundation, a wonderful Christian foundation? I met someone who was discipled by them, a very wealthy man, and he said, I want to make sure, I look around, I see what wealth does to people. I saw the McClellan family for seven generations has, by being radical givers for the kingdom, has helped their children not to get spoiled and pulled away from the faith by saying all that God's given, there's a purpose. It's for this bigger vision, you know, of the whole world. Our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. This is, they modeled it. This other family adopted that same. Bigger, something bigger than our American idols of comfort and safety. Because they're never enough, are they? They're never enough. Okay, if you want to take notes, some of you kids, you like my family, have to give a report to your parents after worship, do you? If you wanted 3 words or 4 words from this passage, the Lamb of promise, the scope of the promise, the certainty of the promise, and the means of the promise. Lamb, scope, certainty, and the means. How's God going to do this? We see the Lamb of promise here. You know this story. What a great story. He's a well-trained son. He says, Daddy, where's the Lamb? In verse 8, Abraham, by faith, says, God will provide the Lamb for himself. We see gospel, substitutionary atonement. God is the one who provides, Jehovah Jireh. Not like so many, you know, TV preachers and other places, wealth and health and all these things. No, my country, longest life expectancy in the world, lower infant mortality rate than America. You know, all these things looks like Disneyland in some ways. You know, there are other problems of just all these safe, you know, my kids can take the train anywhere, all these wonderful things about Japan, and we have the highest suicide rate in the industrial world. We have socialized medicine. We have this, you know, I won't get into that, boy, we'll set that aside here, but I come back to America, boy, do I see that. But I see all these good things about Japan, and I see why are all these people jumping out buildings? The trains run on time perfectly until someone jumps in front of one. The highest rate in the world of sexless marriage. The highest. I wonder, how do they take surveys about this? You know, you wonder. And all these other, all this depression and this country that's rich and safe and has, you know, care for everybody. And you hardly ever see poor people anywhere. And all these people taking their own lives and this agony because to have all this stuff, it doesn't work. No, here it's about a different provision, the great provision, the Lamb, forgiveness, restored relationships, every other religion. You measure up, you do better. Here we see, you know, the gospel, the Lamb, the substitute Lamb. Francis Xavier came to Japan. He said, wow, we found the best people group we've ever on the face of the earth. They're faithful, steady, hardworking. But that also maybe is one of the reasons why it's hard to accept the gospel in Japan. The word sin means crime, and there's little crime in Japan. You know, this gospel of grace, this is what I need. The salvation is of God, the substitute Lamb provided in my place. This first part of this story is a picture of the seed who is coming, who will die on the cross for our sins. As parents, we want to model that repentance for our kids. One day I was at home working on a sermon on the second floor, and this was, you know, a long time ago in Japan, and I heard all this screaming downstairs, and I ran downstairs, what's going on? And there my son Danny is trying to put my daughter Sarah Beth, her head into the toilet, you know? And all the kids are gathered around, and what do you call that again in English? What is that when you put someone's head, what is that? Swirly, that's it, yeah. And he's trying to put her head in the toilet, and boy, and there was commotion, and he wasn't going to put her whole head in, just her hair, you know, only her hair. And boy, I lost it. Man, I went from studying for a sermon to angry as could be, and I grabbed Danny, who was about 15, and I learned this from Dobson Parental Training. I tried to put his head in the toilet, you know. And I grabbed him, and I'm trying, and he's 15, and he's looking at me like, Dad, what's gotten into you? You know, are you possessed or something? And he didn't really fight me back, but he wouldn't let me either. He had his hands on the, you know, side there. And he's like, look at me. The other kids are looking like, what happened to our father, you know? And I'm sure none of you have ever lost your temper with your children. And please find other better missionaries to support. You know, I'm a sinner who this is true. And finally, and right as, you know, it wouldn't work, and it was just this awful situation, and the doorbell rang at the absolute worst time, you know? And I, ooh, doorbell, go to the door, and there's a lady from our church there, and she's bringing something, and I put on, we slide the door to go in the Genkan where we take our shoes off, and I put on my pastor plastic smile, you know, incredible tension and sin and just awful inside the house, and you know, anyone here know about this kind of thing, you know? And there, this lady, you know, in Japan, you have to ask someone three times to come in or they won't, you know. Ogari kudasai. Then you say again, ogari kudasai. And the third time, maybe they really mean it. Maybe they'll come in. Well, I only said it once. Ogari kudasai. I really didn't want her to come in, you know. And she left and left the thing. And I came back in the door. And there across my, probably seven of my children there in the, across their forehead was written Gizensha, hypocrite. You hypocrite, father. And it wasn't really, but you know what I mean. And I said, man, what? Okay, parental question. What do you do? Parents, repent. By God's grace, he helped me to repent. I used to think raising our kids was more law, just being perfect before my kids. Sure, we need to set an example before our kids, but there was a time to set the most important example that there is a Lamb who shed his blood for all nations and for me. And God worked in my heart, and I said, kids, I was really bad. Please forgive me. Forgive my sins. We prayed together. And they're gospel kids raised in a covenant family. And guess what? They forgave me. And they've had to do it many times since. Because that's the Christian life, isn't it? We we go to Christ again. We go to the Lamb who was slain again. There's a substitute for our sin. And this is the engine for some of these other things we're talking about. For the nations. And giving. And giving of our kids. For the sake of the nations. The Lamb of promise. Second thing, the scope of the promise we see here also. We see Abraham's offspring. Remember, this is something big for our families to be involved in, bigger than the American idols. People and peoples, we see in this path. Myriads of people, peoples from every tribe. Abraham, look at the stars. So shall your descendants be. People, numerous as the stars. This is just an incredible text, and it's over and over in the Bible repeated. You know, start from in Genesis, we go to the New Testament. Jesus said, many will come from the east and the west. You know, with the passage we read today from Revelation, we jump on over to chapter 7. It talks about this. How many are there going to be? A host too great to count. And where are they from? From all nations. Abraham, you'll be a blessing to all nations. Now, we're not talking about Japan, America, India, Bangladesh here. We're talking about the people groups is what this word means. Like, I went to Bangladesh on a mission trip. My son-in-law and my daughter are, Lord willing, going to go to Bangladesh. They're going to work with the Balm people group. They're in Bangladesh, but they're the Balm people group. That most of them have become Christians. Why? Because the Mizo people group from India became Christians through some Welsh missionaries. They came across the border 100 years ago to the Balm people group on the border with India. And the whole tribe became Christians. And now they're going out to the Chokma people group and to the Mru people group to reach other people groups. See, that's nations. And this is something that I had just missed. Like, I was introduced as a covenant family, Blue Blood Presbyterian. My grandfather wrote one of the hymns in your hymn book out there that some of you brought in with you. And I had missed this about every tongue and tribe. Left the Marine Corps, went to seminary. Early on in seminary, we're at a missions conference. And the speaker went from Genesis to Revelation. Do I need to go through all of them? Do you believe me? It's there. I started putting an M in my Bible for missions next to all of these places about every tongue, the nations. I was a missing S Christian. I missed the peoples. All of these people groups of the world. I love people. I shared the gospel. I grew up with my daddy talking about Christ to the mechanic under the hood of the car. People in our home all the time. My kids are the same as I was with my dad. Oh, Dad, please don't talk to them. You know, my kids get embarrassed too when I do that. And I was that way too. Dad, please, I don't know him. You know, when he talked to everybody about the gospel, I grew up with that. But somehow, I miss this about peoples, all the nations, every tongue and tribe. You know, at the end of the 3 days after he went through Genesis and the historical books and the Psalms is full of it. It's the Old Testament motive for missions, the glory of God that the nations would worship. You know, all through there. Boy, I got a ton of passages here that I could, you know, there are so many. The New Testament, Paul, to preach the gospel where Christ's name is not named. Ending in Revelation, behold a great multitude from every nation and all tribes. Carol and I turned to each other and we said, how did we miss this? Oh, no. We have to be open to going, maybe. Oh, no, Lord, you've given us these children. Surely we have three children, pregnant with number four. You wouldn't want us to go. They come first. Little did we know what a blessing it would be. 23 years later, we say, this has been a blessing to our children to go to do and be what God wants you to do. That's the best, safest thing to do, right? But we, you know, I came to realize we're in the company of most of history. Our tendency is my place, my family, my culture. We look at the reformers. You know, my son, Jonathan, who just graduated from RTS Orlando Seminary, he said, Dad, you know, you're overstating this here. Maybe most of the reformers missed this about the nations, but Calvin didn't. Calvin really did. They did a lot of church planting, but I researched a little more. You know, they did send missionaries to Brazil and other places, but you didn't hear this heartbeat of every tongue and tribe, all the peoples of the world, every people group. It wasn't really until 1792. What happened in 1792? We all know 1492. We should know 1792. What happened? William Carey, a reformed guy, shoemaker, said, look, it's here. It's all through the Bible. Every tongue and tribe, every place, we got to go. He wrote his paper, and the modern missions movement was born. Friends, it's been an incredible couple hundred years. All around the world, the church is growing. We see the kingdom spreading as we've reached all these people groups around the world. Still much more to be done. And I was just thinking about this yesterday, driving back up the Blue Ridge Parkway and from Presbytery down in Blacksburg, going through Christiansburg, thinking how Christian America is. Listening to the radio, Christian radio. One trip a couple years ago back in the States, in one stretch, I found four Christian radio stations, and I heard Dobson, R.C. Sproul, and who's a guy from Dallas? Chuck Swindoll. And I was thinking, man, wow. Never heard 1 minute of Christian radio in Japan. And, you know, books, all the things. Yeah, I was thinking about this, and Don Richardson, he was the speaker at this missions conference, and that God really affected my wife and I with this idea of the nations, every tongue, every tribe. What are we going to do with this? And he said one day he was just so distressed that the American church was so caught up on me and us and what we're doing. And he rode from Southern California to Northern California listening to the radio all the way up, Christian radio, all the way up the coast of California. And when he got up to Northern California, he thought maybe this last song will include this theme that talks about the nations, every tongue and tribe, all through the Bible. Do you believe me? Do I need to read all the passages? With us every 4 years, preach one sermon, it's 2 hours long, right? You forget? I won't read all the passages. You believe me? Start putting an M in your Bible. Don, next to all these passages, you read them. Don Richardson, he waited for this last song. Well, maybe this one will talk about this omitted theme from much of Christendom. And it was a song about, Lord, bless me, Jesus, or something. About me. So I got thinking about that this morning. And here's my Bible, my old Bible that there in seminary. And I write, it's NASB, and I wrote, so pretty tattered up. My dad gave it to me when I was 18. I'm so thankful for his example. Modeling the gospel, teaching me about Jesus. He's the one who led me to Christ over time and discipling my oldest son's working with him in the inner city in Newark, New Jersey, discipling my son, this covenantal generational idea, all the M's in there. And this ESV supposedly is the new study Bible for evangelicalists. So this morning I got thinking about this, and I look, and it's got all these articles that if you buy this, you get like a library of 100 books, you know, the best books. And I started looking through the articles in here, and there's not one that talks about this theme. And I took surely our Reformed ESV Bible would be different, you know. We are the whole counsel of God. And I started looking through here. I started underlining. We got God's covenant of grace and original sin and total depravity. We have God is love, divine goodness and faithfulness. We have all these antinomianism in 1 John, Revelation, the local church, heaven. How about Acts? Surely it'll be in Acts. Oh, the apostles, repentance. Oh, praise the Lord. Next to John 20, the mission of the church and the world. Oh, thank you, R.C. Sproul and the makers of the ESV study Bible. There's one article about it. Whew. Friends, this is not peripheral. And so the scope of this, for all the nations, a host too great to number, and the certainty of promise fulfillment. Another sermon title might be The Day God Swore. Look at verse 16, everyone. Have you seen this terminology much in Scripture? By myself I have sworn. Have you seen that often? It's just a couple times in Scripture, you know, that God swears. Here he swears by his own name. Why? Hey, this is true. You can stake your life on it. It can't not happen. every tongue, every tribe, a host. You can't count them like the stars. And by myself I have sworn. How difficult this was for Abraham to believe. But we see it happen. In Acts, the 12 became 70. They became 3,000, 5,000. Any of you, how many here went to the Million Man March in Washington, D.C.? Any of you go to that? Okay, a few of you went there. Wasn't that neat? I went with my dad and my sons. It was fun. That many Christians on the mall in Washington, D.C., and you haven't seen nothing yet. And it's certain. God has sworn by His own name. Now today, we do, around the world, hundreds and hundreds of millions by biological church growth, yes, as covenant children come to faith, and by evangelistic church growth. But which it's not either, it's both. As the kingdom grows and the children grow up and become a part. Not just, how many of you here are continuing a covenant line, like I am? How many of you are starting a covenant line? I don't want you to raise your hand. How many of you are continuing a covenant line? Raise your hand. Okay? Praise the Lord. How many of you are starting a covenant line? Raise your hand. Isn't that exciting? Both. My dad, one of the ways he introduces the gospel to people is he says, how would you like to start something that can last 1,000 generations? Isn't that a great line to start? Both are in Japan. Almost all our people in our church, if you ask that question, guess what? They're all starting a covenant line except for the covenant children. Because we've baptized almost all the people there. No transfer growth kingdom musical chairs like America, you know. This is an exciting thing that we're a part of, and it has to happen. God has He swore by His own name. You know, Abraham didn't see it so well. The disciples didn't see it. They had to get kicked out of Jerusalem. They had to have signs from heaven come to see this is for the Gentiles. This is for all the peoples. Church history, we see how hard it is to get. But Jonathan Edwards, as you read Jonathan Edwards, it's interesting. He hadn't seen what we've seen today of all these people groups around the world coming to faith and the gospel spreading. My second son's going to India. We have this incredible movement in India and different people groups of the gospel spreading, just like it's promised here. But Jonathan Edwards, from the Bible alone, he said, someday, this is what we're going to see. He didn't have a picture of the world like we have. Hadn't seen the last 200 years of church history we've seen. It can't not happen. Think of the Soviet Union. We had just 20 years. I was a Marine. We trained to fight the old Soviet Union. You know, we'd memorize all their tanks and their armored personnel carriers and their airplanes to fight them. And then one day, the wall came down. Bring down this wall, right? And then there it was, Bibles throughout Russia. And I remember when that was happening, thinking back when we were kids in family devotions and we prayed for Russia. And I remember one time my cousin was with us and he prayed, Lord, bless everybody in the world except Khrushchev. And I remember we did. We prayed for Russia, I thought back. Except for Khrushchev, you know. And it happened. And, you know, if you had told me 23 years ago, the wall's going to fall down, or 25 years ago, when I was training, and you know, the wall's going to come down, they're going to be giving out Bibles in the Kremlin, I would have said, I believe the promises, but that's really hard to believe, right? Most of it happened. And today, all over the world, we see this happening. God has sworn by His own name that this will happen. We're part of something. It cannot fail. He rules over earth and heaven. His kingdom cannot fail, like we sing in the hymn. Our first Easter in Japan, had Easter last week. We were discouraged trying to learn the language. It's so hard. We went to Nagoya. Bruce Young was starting a church there. They had 7 Japanese people, not one Christian yet, and only 7 people for their worship service Easter Sunday morning. 7 Japanese people, no Christians. And I thought, wow, this is church planting in Japan. They've been going for a year, you know, working for a year. 7 people, no Christians yet. We flew to Korea for a big conference, and I said, I want to visit some of those big Korean churches you hear about. 150 miles away, you know. Easter Sunday morning, or Easter evening now. went to this, the first church I found, Presbyterian Church. There were thousands there. Pastor asked for people to who came to Christ this week. People standing up everywhere. The last song they sang, I'll never forget this. It's Easter. They sang it in Korean, but I know the song. You know the song. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. I wept as I thought about the morning and the evening, 150 miles apart, and prayed, risen, conquering Son, would you do this in Japan? Should I believe that He will? He's promised that He'll do it. That helps me. I'm in a hard country. A few years later, we moved into where we're going to start a church. You know, we started an English school. Not one Christian. We looked for 4 months. Couldn't find one Christian. These five ladies came to the first English class. Now there are several hundred non-Christians come every week, study English, and then study the world's bestseller, the Bible, you know. And they pay us for it, you know. What a deal. And these after the English class, first English class in our new town, Oyumino. You can remember that by answering the question, you know, who will build this church? Oyumino. Can you say that? Oyumino? Who will build this church? Oyumino. Winchester? Same answer. What's the name of your church? Oyumino. Christ, right? Well, these ladies, Japanese people, the most polite people in the world. But at the end of the English class, they said, so, Aiba-son-san, doshite Oyumino ni kimashita ka? Why did you come to Oyumino? I said, we're here to start a church. A church? You mean like this? Yeah, kind of, yeah, like that. And they said, a church? There's no church in Oyumino. Yes, that's why we came, you know. And, you know, our church still today, 70,000 people, there's no other church except us. You know, it's just Winchester, you're probably one for 300. Waynesboro, the pastor told me, one for every 200 people, Protestant church, you know. And they said, a church? Oh, there are no churches here. Yeah, we're here to start one. Well, are there Christians? I said, no Christians. We've looked for 4 months, can't find any Christians. And Japanese people are so polite and sweet and nice. But this, it was almost the intonation of their next question was this. You stupid gaijin. Gaijin means alien. You stupid gaijin. How are you going to start a church if there are no Christians? And guess what? I believe the promises. Sometimes I haven't believed the promises very well. That instance, the Spirit worked in my heart, could hardly speak Japanese yet, problem after problem, seemed like the enemy was so against us, and I believe the promise. I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against me. I said, oh, there'll be a church here someday. And sure enough, 2 years later, five people began with worship, then 30, and then now that church, 200 worshipers and three sites, three train stations, growing, starting daughter. It's exciting. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. It can't not happen. He swear the certainty of this. And the last, the means of promise fulfillment. I know we have to finish here, but look at this, the means. Now this is a little difficult here. It's saying this is going to happen through the seed, but also through Abraham and his seed. Abraham and his sinful seed. And look what it says in verse 18, because you have obeyed my voice, Abraham. Now, is anyone uncomfortable with this? That God says, this is going to happen. And he says, Abraham, because you have obeyed my voice. He says it twice here. The same kind of thing. Because you've obeyed my voice. The first time I preached on this passage, I was tempted to leave that out. Why? Can anybody guess? I'm a God-centered Christian. I don't want to put all this on me or you or Abraham. Is anyone uncomfortable with this? Because you have obeyed my voice. Isn't that a little bit, whoa, wait a second here. It's in the Bible. And we believe in the first cause of everything, God, and what we call in our confession, contingent, secondary cause. God uses us. He's going to use our children. He's going to use our biological and our spiritual children to be a part of this. The theologians call this the obedience of faith. Hebrews 11:17. Abraham offered up Isaac, the obedience of faith. He did it by faith. Yes, we're a part of this. You're a part of it. Your church is a part. I pray God gives you that building, and that building becomes not an edifice complex, but becomes a house of prayer for all nations, like Jesus said. A place to send out missionaries. As these covenant children grow up, people to go, money, prayer, mission trips, to be a part of reaching this whole world, something bigger to live for than our American idols, that God raised up from your church, this wealthiest country in the world, and this Winchester, Shenandoah Valley. Boy, this is a beautiful place. I want to quit Japan. My house is this far from the road where we live. I'm not complaining, but boy, this is a nice place. You know that? It really is. You almost have heaven on earth here. America can almost be dangerous, isn't it? It really can be. Jesus' warnings about wealth and the eye of a needle and all that. But to say we're all the stuff God gives, it's His, our children, all this, our church, this new building, it's part of something much, much bigger. As we align our purposes with His purposes. It's not Jerusalem or the ends of the earth. What is it? It's concurrent. It's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Cortez used to be the head of Mission to North America. I support Mission to North America. I want to see your Blue Ridge Presbytery keep growing like it is. Why? To take the gospel to the as the American church grows, we're able to send more, to give more. A lot of missions in Japan, because it's so expensive, are going down. We're growing the PCA's mission in Japan, lots of places in the world, because of this. So to raise your kids, some of them are going to go, but to raise them to say, I want to be a part of this. My son Joel, when he was a little kid, we have some friends who are the head of a very big, wealthy foundation. He said, Dad, Joel used to bring blow pops to Japan. He'd have Grandma bring them from Sam's for 1 cent a piece, and he'd sell them in Japan for 10 cents a piece when he was 10 years old. He's quite an entrepreneur. And then he imported rackets. Dad, they charge 5,000 yen, $50 a string of racket in Japan. He started doing it for 2,000 yen, paid back for the racket stringing machine. This was about 13 he was doing this. He said, Dad, they charge $100 to pierce ears in Japan. Joel, no, you're not going to get into that. Joel said, Dad, I want to be like them someday. I want to be a Christian entrepreneur who gives away a ton of money. He said, Joel, that is really dangerous. Right? 1 Timothy 6, the danger of wanting to be rich and all that. Well, Joel's doing that now. He's number 3. The first 2 are in ministry. He asked me recently, we're trying to buy a 5-story building in Japan for our seminary down in Nagoya. Sent an email off to Inner Circle. First 2 clicks back. Joel was one of them with a pledge. Second one was the husband of one of my daughters. And I thought, they're not ones in ministry. They're in ministry, but not full-time ministry. And Joel asked me one time, he said, Dad, do you love the others that are missionaries and in ministry? Is what they're doing, is it better? Is it more important? What's the answer? Reformed people. Whatever God calls us to. But we're all to be world Christians. And just think of the possibilities for this church and this presbytery, for Jerusalem, Samaria, the ends of the earth, through the covenant children, through the people that are going to come to faith, through your new tool God gives you, Lord willing, downtown Winchester. How exciting that is. I'm going to pray for that. I want to get our elders to give our 1% next year back to you guys, okay? But you don't sound too excited about that, so maybe we shouldn't do that, For the sake of the nations. Now remember, friends, all of this, raising these little warriors to take down those gates, like verse 17 talks about. We got to go back to the gospel. The engine for all this is knowing the blood of the Lamb. This gospel-drivenness, not just human push, caught up in, seeing something big happen. It's got to be that we know Christ and His love As we sit here today, we're all a bunch of sinners who need Christ desperately recently. Someone I know well, within the last year, fell into sexual sin, was arrested. A person in full-time Christian ministry. It's very, very sad. Much pain and hurt coming from. Thankfully, before it got too far, by God's grace, things stopped. Great pain in marriage, ministry, all kinds of things. Does the blood of Christ forgive that sin? There's deep repentance. There's change. And I believe in the blood of Christ. I believe this couple is going to be like another couple I know of an unfaithful husband and have had 40 years of blessed marriage once the blood of the Lamb came into that home and changed that family. You know, I think of my own sin today. Reading Tim Keller's Counterfeit Gods. Here today talked about missions and family. And guess what my two biggest counterfeit gods are in my heart so easily? Missions and family. Success in ministry. Family success. Even telling you, some of those, Carol says, don't tell any stories about our family because she knows my heart and how dangerous it is. It is, isn't it? You know, it is. Boy, pride. And reading that book, that's a great book by Tim Keller, Counterfeit Gods. And I see, man, I have these gods. You know, I want it to be for God's glory in Japan, becoming an ascending nation to Asia. And yet, boy, it is so insidious. And how much today I need the blood of the Lamb. And you need the blood of the Lamb. And as we know Christ more, we want that blood of the Lamb to be preached in every tongue and tribe and Winchester throughout the ends of the earth. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are a friend for sinners. Oh, Lamb of God, precious Lamb of God, forgive our sins. Energize us to be a part of this greatest endeavor for the glory of your great name. Use our families, use our church. Lord, would you give this church this new building, not a church, give this church a church building to be a base, a camp, like we call it in the Marines, a camp, not a fort, to go out to the ends of the earth, Lord. Would you do that for the glory of your great name? Thank you that we're a part of something that can't not happen. It is certain to succeed. Every country rises and falls. Every company rises and falls. Yes, the USA will too, Walmart will too, McDonald's will too, just like Bear Stearns and every other one in history. But we thank you, Lord, today that we're a part of that one that will not fail, the Church of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of that. Lord, there are many struggles. We look to you to lead and guide and help. Help us, Lord, to believe these promises in the difficult times we go through as a church and personally and in our families. There are many difficult days. Help us to look forward to heaven and to know that you are King. You rule over earth and heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.